All right, so we are continuing on how to study the Bible. I apologize, I have a PowerPoint that's old, and they're forcing me, or trying to force me into buying the new one, which you have to pay for every year, and I don't want to do it. I'm hard-headed, and I'm trying to keep the one I got, but it's giving me a hard time now, so I can't open up two screens, and I wanted to open up my Bible program to be able to show you there, but I can't get the display to get small enough to see it. So anyway, we're going to do it the old-fashioned way, and we're going to use the Way of Life Encyclopedia, which is the way he suggests. The reason I don't like this that much, this is sufficient. I'm not saying it's not sufficient, but when you look up the words, you're going to see some different things than he has. If you go and look it up in your Bible program, you'll see when we're going to look up some of these words that we can come out with some more information that he didn't have in this particular book. But that's okay. It's not a problem, because everything he's got here is great. And it will be helpful to us. So, the next thing we're doing is we're studying individual passage of Scripture. So, I probably forgot something else. Hang on. Losing my mind. Let's see it here. Well, anyway, I don't need it. It's the remote. Or maybe I got it in here. Okay. All right. So we're going to study individual passages of Scripture. So you're going to help. Okay? What's the matter? Is it just you? Okay. You can move up closer if you want. No. Okay, good. You do, actually, have everything that you need right there. So he makes a mention. This is David Cloud that has written the book and that we're using to learn how to study the Bible. And he mentions that in writing the book, things hard to be understood, a handbook. I have one in my office right out. He says, I use the following method to study passages of Scripture. So if you've ever seen his things, a hard to be understood handbook, it's got a lot of things in the Scriptures. It's not exhaustive, of course, but there are a lot of passages that are sometimes hard to understand, and you can go to that. I actually have it on my computer program, which I can access on my Bible program. But you can go there, and you can look in there, and it'll help you with some passages that are difficult to understand. Okay? So, this particular example, I think, might be in that passage. I can't remember. In the Bible, or in his things hard to be understood. So, the example we're going to use is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. So, let's go ahead and turn there in our Bibles. And Josh, I'd like you to read that for us when we get there. Everybody else? You don't have a Bible? Cool. Oh, okay, sorry. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And we're going to have other people read the same passage again, because that's the way we're going to try to understand this and learn it. So I'm going to ask Josh if he'll read it first for us. So let's go ahead. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to learn more about how to study the Bible. We thank you for realizing that everything we have and need is in the Bible, but there are times when there are difficult things, and there's nothing wrong with using tools that you've given to us, other folks that have studied these passages previously, that they might help us as well. Now, Father, I pray you bless this time, make it profitable. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John.
Judge not that you be not judged with what judgment you judge, with what measure you need. Shall be measured to thee again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
All right, thank you. So the first thing we want to do in this passage, here we go. Oh, I already said that, didn't I? Sorry about that. Let me kill that exciting noise. Okay, so there's our example. And the first thing we want to do is we want to define terms. Terms that are not normal to our understanding. Can anybody look in there and see some terms that we might want to define today in that passage? Moat. Yeah, we want to define moat. Is there any others, maybe? I'm sorry? Meat. That's right. M-E-T-E, not M-E-A-T. And Kirk, did you say one? Okay. Okay, you said meat. Anybody else? Any other terms, maybe? And maybe it's not that hard to understand the being itself. Find out what it is and what it's speaking about in the Greek and understanding more of what that means. So those are some terms that he has. He also has he has another one here, and verse 5. And we are, I think we probably know this, and most of us, we know what that means, but he does define it, so we will too. He said, which says, thou hypocrite. So the hypocrite wanted to define that word as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to, as we looked at our text, we read our text, we looked at it and saw some words in it that may not be familiar in the English and how we would use those, because if I thought moat, I'd think water around the castle. That's where I'd go. So I want to get that water around the castle that goes around the castle out of somebody's eye. No, that's not going to work, is it? And then meat, what in the world is meat, you know? And so you want to find these terms and to help you study. So he's going to use the Wes Life Encyclopedia. I need an adult volunteer. I'm looking for adults today. Everybody the age of 15 and above. Rob, okay, would you step up here, please? The word you're looking for is right around here somewhere. But I want you to look it up. The first one we're going to look up is meat, okay? Huh? Oh, being an adult? He is an adult. Most of the time. He's the biggest kid we got. No, I'm meat, yeah. So he's looking up the word meat that's in this passage. And so we're trying to find out what does that mean exactly. What measure ye meat? Okay, so it means to measure or to weigh. So look at the passage. It says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, or to weigh, or measure, right? It shall be measured unto you. So did it say measure or just say weigh?
It says to measure.
Okay, to measure. Okay, so it's telling us that whatever you, somebody else explain it. Because if I explain it, what's it say in there? He just told us that meat means to measure or to weigh. With what measure ye measure or to weigh, it shall be measured to you again. That's right. You need to, if you're going to judge, you need to be, actually, you should be having the same problem, okay? If you got the same problem, keep your mouth shut, okay? That's basically what it says. Because whatever you judge somebody by, that's what you're going to be judged by. For instance, I always preach, read your Bible. So if I'm not reading my Bible, then I'm a hypocrite. See how that works? So when I preach to you to read your Bible, that's what I want you to do. God wants you to do it. If you do it personally, that's up to you. That's an individual choice you can do. I want you to because I know God will bless you for it. But if I'm not doing it, then I'd be a hypocrite if I tell you to do it. That's kind of what that means. Okay, and you can run that everywhere in every aspect. Okay, there's some other verses there. Give us a couple of those verses.
Exodus 16:18.
Okay, what's the next one?
Psalm 60, verse 6.
And another one.
Isaiah 40, verse 12.
Okay, somebody look up Psalm 60, verse 6. Okay, Henry, I'm going to let you do that. Can I have an adult look up Isaiah 40, 12? Julia. And okay, good. I got some hands. I already seen some hands, so I'll be calling on those that raised their hands already. Just read those passages and share with us what it says there, because these are references that he gives in his way of life, and they should be relevant to what we're studying here today. And everybody can look those up if you want to. Again, it was Psalm 66. You got Isaiah 40:12? Okay. Well, okay, hang on for a second. Isaiah 40:12. Go ahead and read that to us, Julia. So what relevance does this have for us today? What is it trying to, why do you reference this verse? I'm sorry? That's right. He's showing us a verse in the Bible that has and uses that same word meat or the idea so we can get more understanding of what that word means. So when you compare scripture and scripture, it'll help you do that. Now, if I was doing it, I would have my computer open. I would look up the word meat, and I would go to treasure scripture knowledge. I'd also look up the word in the Greek, find all the Greek words in the New Testament, and see what they mean in the verses there, just so I'd compare the Greek to the Greek. This is Greek to Hebrew, but the whole the idea is the same, okay? So that's what we're looking for here now. So, Henry, you have, what was it, Psalm 60? Okay, go ahead and do Psalm 66. Okay, measure out of the valley. Okay, that's good. So you see, you kind of see what he's doing here. Everybody understand what he did with the word meat? He looked it up in the Way of Life Encyclopedia. By the way, he wrote that encyclopedia. And so he's taking that word, he's looking up, and he's looking at other scriptures that give us the idea of what the word meat was. So when we leave here today, we're all going to know what that word meat is, right? We're going to know that it's a way or measure, to measure, to measure. Okay? Good. So how does that help us understand scripture? Terms.
I know what the terms are, so you know what the fellowship.
Right. Let me ask you this. Did you know what that word meant before we did this? If you did, fine.
Well, not before I read it, but in the bottom of my Bible, find it, so I looked at it.
That's a tool to help. And that's why you have study Bibles and Bibles like that, is to help you. So you might have that in your Bible. That's fine. But it's a means that we can understand what we're trying to learn from the Lord. Because this language comes from the Greek, and there are still words in there that aren't synonymous. Or I don't know if that's the right word, but they're not congruent, or they're not the same words that we would use today. I don't ever go around saying, hey, let's go meet that or whatever, unless I'm going to go meet somebody. But all right, good. Thank you. Good job. Is that going to be helpful for you now?
Yeah.
You got one of these, don't you? Okay, good. I'm going to come visit you, and I want to see how wore out it is. No, I'm just kidding. The next word is beam. Kirk, would you come do that for us? I did see you raise your hand. So you look that word beam up. Now, most of us probably have an idea what that means already. But again, it's good to go back and look at it. Right there, the book there. And there are other ways. You don't always have to use, you don't have to use Way of Life. There's other encyclopedias. There's other means to do that. But this is the way we're going to do it today. Give us some hands-on experience. Right before you read it, let me just ask real quick. Does anybody have an idea what that word being means before he reads it? Nobody else but Henry. Okay, Henry. Huh? Okay. Yeah, kind of. Anybody else thought? Josh? Well, not in this case. But I kind of know what you're saying. But anybody else? Yeah, I think so. That's a couple good ideas. Let's see what Kirk shares with us.
This is a large board or timber used in the construction of houses and buildings. Beams supported wall ceilings and gates and city walls. The weaver's beam was the heavy bar around which the warp cords were wrapped in a loom. The beam Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7:35 would be something like a rafter in a house.
Okay, good. I'm way behind in my little thing here. Okay. Can't see it? You know why? Because I forgot to move that stuff down here. Okay. All right, so beam means a large board of timber used in the construction of houses and buildings, Kirk said. And then he read this one. He read a little bit more that I don't think's in this. There's another point about the weaver. And then the beam Jesus spoke of. So somebody look up 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 7. Somebody look up. Great, thank you. Somebody else look up Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. Amen? Okay. Okay. Okay, so he used that word being. Gives us an idea of what he's talking about. Of course, here, he's not talking about the physical beam, right? Because nobody walks around with a beam in their eye. But it's talking about the fact that we can't see because this piece of wood is so big, okay? Lynn? Okay, again, we see the use of the word being. So, again, someone help me out. In that verse, it says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? When it says, considerest not the beam in that is in thy own eye, what is he saying? What is Jesus saying here? Well, what's he saying about the beam? That's what we're talking about, that specific word. You can come back and tell me the rest of the passage. That's right. How can you see somebody else's problem when you haven't dealt with yours? Today we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And the Bible teaches us that we're to examine ourselves so we wouldn't be judged, right? So how can we go to somebody else and say, you need to do this when you're not doing it? You've got that beam in your eye and you can't see because you've got that problem or you're dealing with that problem. It's like someone who's not living their life for Christ and telling somebody how to get right with God. They have no inkling what it is to live for Christ because they got this beam in their eye, and yet they're going around pointing out everybody else's problems. If you're living for the Lord, we're going to see there are times of judgment, and we'll see some of that in just a moment. Okay, thanks, Kirk. Well, the beam is it's the fact that you have blinders on, or you don't see your own sin. The beam is just an illustration. It's a figure of speech in the sense that you can't see yourself because you got this thing in your eye. Okay. All right. Someone come look up the word mote, Tina. Didn't you raise your hand? Well, I mean, I said if you raised your hand, I know who to call. I'm sure somebody over here raised their hand too. Mote. I think it's water around the castle. You got a moat? You want that moat? You're going to have a drawbridge. Okay, good. Okay. All right, Tina, go ahead and read. That's all it says. Okay. If you looked it up in the in your Bible program and you look at the Greek, it would say a twig or something like that. Okay. Splinter is the same thing. It's something small. Okay, is what he's saying. That's the illustration, something small. Someone look up Luke chapter 6, verse 41. Henry? Somebody else join in. Josh, look up, look up verse 42 then. Luke chapter 6, verse 42. Are those the verses, Tina? Okay, sorry. Other. It's up here. Chapter 6, verse 41. Josh is looking at verse 42. Okay.
Why
Okay, 42, Josh? Okay, yep. I'm sorry, go ahead. Very good. That's a parallel passage, and that again goes to comparing Scripture with Scripture. So when you're studying a passage, you want to go to other passages. That's what the value of Treasury of Scripture knowledge is. When you go in there and you click on that, it's going to throw up and show you different passages. Many times, the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament. And when you use Treasury of Scripture knowledge, that's the biggest value, is you can find out where those verses come from. This morning we talked about Jesus, who spoke. It is written three times, and those all came out of Deuteronomy. Those were written in Deuteronomy, and Jesus was quoting Scripture to Satan. And so that's, again, important. So comparing Scripture to Scripture, the mote means a splinter. What would a splinter and a beam, what is the difference between those two? Size, that's right. That beam is so small and that splinter is so big, right? No, the splinter is small and the beam is big. So someone who has a beam in their eye is trying to judge somebody with a splinter in their eye, and he can't really see because of the beam that's in his eye. Okay, thanks. All right, someone come up and another adult volunteer, please. Henry, I know you're zealous, man. If I had two Henrys, we'd be fired up around here. Somebody else. Greg, thank you. We're going to look up the word hypocrite. So this is Greg's book. He already knows how to use this. So. Well, I understand that. Today you don't even need to know how to spell, because your computer does it for you. So, it doesn't have hypocrite. Okay, read hypocrisy then. Okay, so a hypocrite is a false professor. He's someone who it would be considered to be like an actor, putting on an act. Are there people who claim to be Christians today that are putting on an act? A lot of people are like that. I was one of them. I know what that is, to be acting as a Christian. You can serve in every ministry in this church. You can come to this church and be faithful to every single service. You can do everything that you think that you're supposed to do and not be saved. That's a hypocrite. And I was a hypocrite for 3 or 4 years at Tabernacle Baptist Church before I got saved. And there is a difference between being saved and not saved. And it is receiving the Spirit of God. So, okay, so here we got it. Thank you, Greg. So we did what it said in our lesson. We went and defined the terms that we weren't sure of. I think most of us knew what a hypocrite was and a beam. We probably didn't know, maybe some of us didn't know what meat was or mote, and so we found out that. And so now, oh, this is the part Greg read, and then we're going to go to the next thing. Read it repeatedly. So I need some folks to read this for us, and just take your time reading it. That's what it suggests, and it is important. I don't know about you, but many times I've read through my Bible and maybe had my devotions and just poured right through it. And because I was in a hurry or something, and I'm sitting there going, what did I just read? Did I get anything out of that? And so I'm learning that you need to go back It's best to do it right the first time, but if you don't get anything out of it, you need to go back and do it again. Because just going through it fast, you're not getting anything out of it. You're wasting your time. And why do we read the Word of God? It's so God can speak to us and show us something, right? So let's go ahead and do that. Adam, I would like you to read it through, if you would, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, please. Okay. Now I'm going to read it, and I'm going to try to put the meanings of these words in there instead of reading it just like it, just to kind of bring it to home a little bit. It's like I shared with you probably Wednesday night. When you read Scripture, you can personalize Scripture. In other words, you can put your own name in Scripture. What did I share? I can't remember now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, Bruce, by the mercies of God, that Bruce, you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, Bruce. And so you can personalize this, and you ought to, because God is speaking to you as well as anybody else who's reading this for themselves or whatever. So again, as I look at this, it says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye to measure or to weigh, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the splinter that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the big beam, I added big bear, that is in thine own eye, because we already know what beam means. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the splinter out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. Thou pretender, thou actor, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the splinter out of thy brother's eye. You kind of see how that kind of reads there? Now, I'm not saying you change Scripture. The words are fine. We just need to learn the meaning of the words, okay? What do those words mean? That's important. And once we learn what those words mean, then we can apply it. Someone else read this passage for me. Adults. I want adults to be involved. You youngins are good. Okay, Brandy. Okay, so we read it repeatedly, and these things we've already mentioned. Again, he makes the note, one hurried reading is not enough. So when you're studying a passage of Scripture, you need to study the passage of Scripture. Now, if you're just reading it, that's fine, but try to get discernment out of it when you read it. But if you're actually studying it, it's going to take some time. These five verses you could spend a week on, just going through all the words and doing all the Bible study and coming out with what God is trying to teach us. Now, we've read it three times or four times, so what we want to ask ourselves is understand the text or context. This, yeah, context. So what is this, the context of this? What is it saying? What's the context? What's the condemnation that Jesus is teaching here for us as believers? That's right. He's teaching us not to be hypocrites, not to have hypocrisy in our lives. How can you see this passage can be misused? Say that again. What she's saying is true, is that a lot of people take this passage and say, oh, you're not supposed to judge. Is that true? Everybody in this room judges. You judge what you put on, you judge what you eat, you judge everything in your life. should we not look at the Word of God and based on that judge ourselves, which the Bible definitely teaches, but how do we judge others? We judge them based on how I feel. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Or we teach them on what I think, or judge them on what I think. Is that right? No. So anyway, we'll go on from there. So let's see what he says. I think that's what he's going to say. That passage widely misused by evangelicals and ecumenists to teach that we should not judge doctrine or sin. What happens if we choose not to judge doctrine or sin? What is the outcome of that? We're going to go to Joel Osteen's church. Or we're at least going to watch him on TV because he's so far away. Okay? And if I'm stepping on your toes about Joel Osteen, I'm not going to apologize because the guy's he's an apostate. He couldn't answer the question on how to be saved. I don't know. He said it three times to Larry King live. He says, well, I believe. I don't care what you believe, Joel. I want to know what the Bible says. He believes. He'll tell you, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. But when you ask him about everybody else, well, I don't know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So we want doctrine. We want to know what the Bible says and teaches. So it's important. Okay, so that's... Okay, but the context makes the meaning clear. That's why when we study the passages of the Bible or a verse, we want to take and find out what the context of that verse is. Where is the context of the verse usually found? Where can it be found? Easy. Huh? Maybe, maybe not, right? Maybe, it just depends. Because all of it, whenever you look at the Bible crosses the boundaries of those chapters, right? But there are parts in it where it stops and it's evident, stops in the middle of a chapter, and then it picks up and he starts on another subject, maybe Paul does, and it might cross the boundaries of that chapter that we have in our Bibles, and it may go farther. It may go three chapters. You're right. It could go all over. So you want to study the context of the message. What is Paul saying at that particular spot or that place in your Bible? So again, Jesus is not condemning. Plain states what type of judgment he's condemning. Okay, yeah, he makes the statement exactly in the passage. It tells us, hypocrite. Jesus used that very word. Jesus is not condemning judgment in general. He's condemning hypocritical judgment. Okay? And why would we do this? Hypocritical judgment? Because we have a sinful nature, don't we? And a lot of times we want to build ourselves up. How do we build ourselves up? That's right. If we can knock somebody down, we can build ourselves up. So if we're talking about ourselves and what we're doing, and it's based on how I feel, what I think, and all this, but if we are teaching Scripture and we're following and practicing Scripture, Scripture is always right. Always right. You can never get away from the fact that it's always right. Because if it's not, then God is not telling us the truth, right? So we want to practice, again, clearly what Scripture teaches. Okay, we condemn others for things we do ourselves. We say we ought to pray, and then we don't pray. You know, we say we ought to go to church, and we don't go to church. What else? It could be anything. It doesn't have to be even that. We can say that we're to help others, but we don't do it or whatever. We say, I'm going to do something, and we don't do it. Pastor, I'll be there, but you don't come. And there's no excuse. There's nothing. You just don't show up. That's kind of being, in a sense, because you're telling others, maybe you're telling somebody else, you ought to go or whatever. We all ought to go. Yeah, we ought to, but we want to practice it. It says children do it. Is that true? Are children hypocritical? Yeah, sure. Young people do it. We know that. Yeah. Parents do it. Yeah, we all do it. You know, I got ahead of myself. But parents, the big thing with parents is do what I say and not what I do. Has anybody heard their parents say that? I have. And what is she saying? I'm a hypocrite. You do this, but I don't have to do this. I'm the parent. My foot is down. And I'll tell you, most kids, when they see that, they're going to do just the opposite and do what the parent does. It's a challenge almost. You know, you're throwing a glove down there, the gauntlet. Don't do this, but yeah, I'll. And then teachers do it as well. Again, that has to do with anything that you teach.
if you're teaching it and you're not striving to do it yourself, it becomes hypocritical. And there's not a person in this room, myself included, that has not been a hypocrite at some time, for sure. And maybe even is one today. It happens. We know that. But when it's revealed to us, what should we do with it? Confess it as what it is, ask God to forgive us, and then take care of that. Oh, I went the other way. Preachers do it there. He's got me. So Jesus' warning needs to be taken to heart. Everything Jesus teaches us, it needs to be taken to heart. Why is that? We as Christians who have the Spirit of God living in us, the purpose of the Spirit of God is to take and conform us to the image of Christ. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God, and the Spirit in our hearts helps us to do exactly what it says and teaches. We want to follow Scripture and be scriptural in what we do. It's a learning process, and it takes a lifetime. I've told several recently, there's so much that I've just been seeing that I haven't seen before. It's because the Lord has said, you're ready for it now. And maybe you were too stubborn to hear it before or whatever, but He's trying to teach us all the time. Okay, so what's the next one? Compare Scripture with Scripture. So we need to consider cross-references and compare Scripture with Scripture. I don't have... Oh, yeah, I do. Sorry. Treasure of Scripture knowledge. Again, I would use my Bible program. All this is on my Bible program. It makes it a lot easier for me, and it would for you as well if you use it. But he says we compare Scripture with Scripture. And let's see here. Let me look up Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Okay, can anybody tell me, do you remember how Treasury Scripture Knowledge is set up when you go to a verse or something? You remember? Yeah, so it might take the first word of a group of words, like why, and take that and then give you different references for that. We don't have a lot of time, so we're not going to do that today, but let's just see what he has to say. We'll go through this. So now we consider the cross references and compare Scripture with Scripture. Treasury Scripture knowledge, it's really a great tool. And he gives us some following or some of the cross references to Matthew 7:1-5, Luke 6:36-37. In this companion passage, we see that Jesus is speaking of being merciful and forgiving. Let's go ahead and turn over there in Luke chapter 6. Remember, Josh and Henry read Luke chapter 6, but they read the parallel passage to what we were reading right before this. It gives us some more information. All right, someone read verse 36 through 37, those two verses. Who'll do that? Okay, Julia. So he takes it to the next level. He tells us that we're not to judge. He says that we are not to condemn and that we are to forgive. Now that's another thing. Forgiving is hard sometimes. If you're bitter towards somebody, what should you do? What if they did you wrong? Micah did you wrong. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? That's what the Bible teaches. Before you leave your gift at the altar, you're supposed to go to that person and to get right with that person. That way you win your brother back. So if God reveals to you... Now, Mike didn't do anything. So did you? I can't think of you. And it works the other way too. If I have aught against you, then I should come to you and talk to you about that and make sure that I take care of that. Obviously, you go to Christ first when He reveals that to you, and then you take care of that. Someone turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. And who will read that? Okay. You know your name, Kirk. Sorry, I can't come up with it. So what is he telling us there? Well, it's up here already. You can read it. Josh. Okay, somebody tell me what that means. Yeah. Often, who do we love more than anybody else? Me, myself, and I, right? We all struggle with that to some degree. And so based on that, we'll take and we'll judge other people from that. So, all right, let's see here. Parents often tell their children not to do the very things they're doing. We already mentioned that. People in poor countries come and complain about the lack of justice, honesty in the government, but they are dishonest, unjust in their own lives and would do the same if they had the opportunity to be in position of power. We see that. That's true. Romans 14:13. We're about out of time. It just tells us we're not to judge in matters of liberty where the Bible is not spoken. Romans chapter 14, is talking about meats and idols. And meats offered to idols, we shouldn't judge a brother in that. If he can't eat the meat because he thinks it's going to wound his spirit or whatever because he knows it was offered to idols, then we as Christians should respect that and not eat any meat in his presence. Paul said he would not eat any meat. But if... And that's other things too. It's not just meat, but there are other things as well. We should submit. That's all about submitting in love to the brothers and sisters of Christ, and really submitting to Christ. Real quick, let me scoot down here. By comparing Matthew 7 with other passages we teach about judgment, we learn that there are types of judgment that are commended by God. Let me just go through these. Judgment of sinning church members, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. There was a brother there that was committing... It was fornication, but it was specific with his father's wife, whether that was his stepmother or mother, whatever. It was incest. It could have been incest. And so Paul is saying you need to judge that. In fact, he said you turn him over to Satan. You put him out. Okay? So there is judgment there. Judgment of self. We're going to talk a little bit about that today when we have the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, we're to examine ourselves, right? Judgment of preaching. Hey, preacher's up in the pulpit and he's telling you hypocrisy or telling you things that aren't true in the Bible. You need to judge that for yourself according to the Scripture. What's the next step? What should you do? Go home and tell your husband, the guy's a nut, and then tell everybody else in church he's a nut, and then get the pulpit committee up and let's go get him. Is that what we're supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Go to the preacher and talk to the preacher. If he won't hear you, then go tell everybody else. Or at least two to three people come to him and talk to him. Absolutely. And you should practice that. The preacher doesn't know what's going on sometimes in the congregation. Why? Because nobody comes and talks to him. It might go through the whole congregation. The preacher might not ever know that something's going on. And so that's important that you, when there's a problem, you deal with it scripturally. Judgment of doctrine. What is this talking about? What's the word doctrine mean? Teaching, right. It's talking about the Bible. When we are studying the Bible, we are to judge not just ourselves, obviously ourselves, but our friends, our brothers in Christ as well. Iron sharpeneth iron. We are to encourage each other. We're to provoke one another in Christ. And if we see a brother that's having a problem or difficulty, based on the Scripture, we should always use the Scriptures, not what I think or what I feel. It's what the Bible teaches, and there's a lot to that. You have to talk to people to do that, and you need to get an understanding of what's going on there and if there is anything. In fact, I had a situation yesterday that I had a problem, and it was all on me because what I was thinking at the time, and it's something I had to deal with. And every one of us, we're put in those situations. You need to deal with it as soon as you can. And if you're saved, you will know that you need to deal with it. Why? Why is that true? That's right. After this happened, I had a difficult time last night. And I'm sitting there in my mind trying to figure out what did I do, how to do this. And it probably wasn't done the way I thought it was done. It was all, and so I realized it's my problem. And when we realize those things, then we take care of them as soon as we can. Okay? If you don't, you just cut the communication lines with God. He's not listening to you because you know you got a problem and you're not dealing with the problem. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're to judge based on doctrine, or judge doctrine of, well, there's also Calvinism, Arminianism, speaking in tongues, all the different doctrines of the Bible. We use the Word of God to judge that doctrine if it's true or not. That's why you need to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, is so you know what's right and wrong. Okay? 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 5, we must be careful about judging because judgment is always imperfect in this world. That's true. Always being judged, and we need to be careful with it because when we think something is necessarily right, we might not even know the whole story. There is a saying, and it's true today, it's one of those things that most of us at some point in our life, if not even now, is we get tripped up by judging the book by its cover. So we need to be careful with that. James 4:11, judgment of others must not be evil judgment, meaning judgment based on envy or hatred. When we are judged righteously, as Jesus told us to do, we're to do that through the Scripture. And the purpose of the judgment is not to put people down. It's to restore them and build them up. It's to help them to see what the Bible is teaching. So what? They would be blessed by God. As a preacher, my greatest desire is that everybody walks with Christ and follows Him completely. Why? Because there's blessings in that. There is blessings. And there's so many more blessings I haven't experienced yet, and that's what I'm striving to do in my own life, is to learn more about Christ so I can receive those blessings that God has for me. Not only that I can be close to Him. Looking unto Jesus, I want to consider Him, and I want to attain to what He wants me to do. I want to be a useful tool in His service. Not all judgment is evil. God's judgment based on the Bible and truth is not wrong and is not condemned in Scripture. Here's a home study project for everybody that's in the class. You can have 3 weeks to do this, okay? So I'll give you plenty of time. And I'll put a grade on it. It won't be a big deal. But use the fourfold method of study the passage of your choice. It could be two verses if it's a passage. And there are some in there. Maybe even one verse. Jesus wept. That's not enough, Jim. That's his favorite verse. It used to be bodily exercise, profit little. But now it's Jesus wept. Anyway, so thank you, Jim. Write out the result of each point, and if you are studying this course with the class, okay, that's what we're doing. Those that are studying the course, do that. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple things real quick, and then we'll be done. Well, actually, I won't do that. We can wait and do that later. So, one thing. Hebrews chapter 5. Turn there for a second. We're talking about judgment and all this. Again, Paul, I believe, wrote Hebrews. Others may disagree. That's fine. But in Hebrews chapter 5, let's look at verse 11 through 14. And this is something that's important. If we are going to judge righteously, if we're going to, and we want to do that, because why? The purpose of judging each other is not to condemn, but it's to restore. Jesus loved us. You know what Jesus did when He loved us? He died. He died. And so what does God want us to do? It's not popular. I'm the least likely guy that wants to do anything that's confrontational. That's just not what I want to do. I would rather go live and be a hermit off some mountain somewhere and just be left alone, be part of the group and bunch or whatever. That's my nature. But when I got saved, God said, I'm changing your nature. You got a new nature. And this is it. And so He's teaching me through the Scriptures that there's a purpose and plan for me and each one in this room. As Christians, we're to help each other to be closer to God. So here is a passage that if we are not studying and we're not striving, this is what Paul writes here, says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Okay, you're not listening to the Word of God. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Folks, God is looking for people that can take and digest strong meat. That's what he's looking for. When we are saved, we got the bottle, just like a baby. And we're going to stay on that bottle as long as we continue to neglect the things of God. That's basically what it is. When you start studying, all of a sudden you start growing. I can remember, and there'll probably be testimony in this room today, that people would say, I started teaching Sunday school, and buddy, I started learning fast. Why? Because you studied. You got into the Word of God. You found out what it was saying because you had to tell somebody else. And you had to tell them more than those little booklets tell you. Those are just skimming the surface. You have to get in and find out what things mean so you can actually give that to somebody else. If you're not doing that, you're going to have a hard time passing on the Scripture itself. It's easy to tell stories. We want to know what God has to say and have God real in our lives. He says, verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So studying the Word of God teaches us that. That's how we learn and that's how we grow. Hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, practicing the Word of God, it changes our lives. And if I ask for testimonies today, I know there'll be people stand up and say, God has changed my life. There was a time in my life that I got serious with God about reading the Word of God, and I learned so much, and He showed me so much. And it's true, it's for everybody who wants it. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time. We pray you continue to bless us. Help us to understand your Word. Help us to continue to grow. Help us to be the tools that you call us to be. To be able to do the work of the ministry, Father, that we might be able to edify each other and continue to grow and help others see Jesus Christ, that they may know the great God that we know. We thank you now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.